Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Generali 9 months 2018 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gian Maria Mossa, CEO and General Manager of Banca Generali. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, and thank you all for attending our third quarter results conference call. As you already know, in the first 9 months of the year, the commercial results are solid, with net inflows up to €4.1 billion, with a conservative mix, cash and semi-cash, and with an higher contribution compared to the historical average from the existing sales force. Total AUM reached €58.5 billion, 9% higher than the year 1 year ago, of which €2.3 billion are under advisory, so with an explicit fee of advisor. In terms of financial advisor networks, we are reaching 2,000 financial advisors, but what is really important for us is that the portfolio average is very close to 30 million. On the P&L perspective, the quarter reached 43.3 million euro, 10% higher than the last year, the same period. On a cumulative basis, in the first 9 months, reached 135.8. of which almost two-thirds coming from recurring earnings, so revenues, management fees, and other revenues. From a capital perspective, CET1 and total capital ratio very high, very solid, despite the volatility of the BTP. And also from a liquidity perspective, we have best-in-class ratios. Next page, as usual, page 4, we see a short version of the P&L. What is really important to me is that if you look at the gross fees, reached a new high, 566.7, despite a very, very poor contribution of performance fee. Overall, total banking income flat year on year. Operating costs are on average under control and in line with our guidance. So excluding payments to bank rescue funds, we are up 1%. Provisions and write-off are in line with the last year, while tax rate is a little bit higher due mainly to the revenue mix. Page 5, there is the breakdown of net profit in the two main components. The red bar represents the recurring profits. The green one, the variable profits. As you can see, recurring profits grew from 63.3 to 87.7, mainly driven by the asset expansion and recurrent fees, while the variable profit went down from 84 to 48, minus 43%. And again, this is mainly due to poor performance fee, only partly offset by the gain in the trading activity. If we move to the next section, page 7, we will go through the, as usual, the single items, starting from net financial income. Net financial income raised 66.3 million from 61.2 over the last year, thanks to the trading income, while net interest margin reached 44.2, so almost 3 million lower than the last year. The good news here is that we are confident to reach, in terms of net interest margin for the full year, 60 million, and you can see easily on the right, in the right end of the page, the graph of the quarterly results, that the third quarter ended at 16.2 million euro. We have again increased the liquidity position of the bank due to the uncertainty of the market. And despite this liquidity, that is almost 1 billion euro, we are confident to reach 60 million at the end of the period. Why net interest income bottom out in the first quarter and start raising again? For two main reasons. The first one is the expansion of the interest-bearing assets, up to 8.6, and a marginal recovery in the interest margin from 118 to 120 basis points. Lending activity grew 2%, and you know that will be a special focus on these topics in our investor day for the next year. We are very confident to increase volume in the lending activity. Banking book continue to maintain a very conservative approach. We have more than 1.6 billion euro that will expire within 2019, and we have plenty of liquidity, as I already said. We have a bank position of almost 900 million euro. Next page, we see the revenues. Overall, all good news. Management fees up 11%, entry and banking fees up 26%, and this is thanks to the deployment of the new revenue stream that we launched at the beginning of this year, while, as you can see, performance fee almost halved. On the fee expense side, we have the ordinary payout for the financial advisors that is growing in line with the recurrent fees, while the fee expense to financial advisor for growth are declining. Consider that these 80.9 million euro of provision for the growth are worked out considering the upper band of the range of inflows for the full years to 5.5. So, you know, we have just confirmed the range of 5.5 billion euro of total inflows, and we work out the provision for the cost of growth at 5.5. So, confirming the range, this should be the maximum level that we will reach. Fee expense to third parties, almost in line with the previous quarter. Page 9, to have a better representation of the payout, let's look at the payout ratios. On the left side of the page, we have the payout of financial advisors. Again, good news. The red bar represents the ordinary payout. You know we have a target of 36%, and in the first 9 months, we reached 35.6, so slightly below our target, while the cost of growth decreased by 2.5%, and this is again a demonstration of the flexibility of our cost base and poorer inflows in terms of risk appetite and lower contribution of the recruitment contributed to have a better result. On the left side of the page, we have the payout ratio to third parties. The red bar emphasizes the good job we did to review the condition with the third parties in the sub-advisory mandates, so from 4.2 to 3.4, it means almost minus 20%, while others is mainly driven by brokerage, so our clients execute more operation on international markets, stock and bonds, and in this case, brokerage costs are a little bit higher. All in all, we have a better payout ratio for financial advisors, 2.2 percentage points, and a better payout to third parties, minus 0.6. Page 10, we see the quarterly trend. Management fees reach new high, 160.8. We can work out the fee margin, considering the total average assets, at 58.4, and we see that the margin are almost in line with our last few quarters at 0.28. Page 11, a focus on other revenue streams. Front fees is probably the revenue with the highest seasonality, third quarter at 3.6, exactly in line with the previous quarters, 3.7 in the 2017, 3.6 in 2016, and 3.6 in 2015. Why? Because during the summer period, we stop normally the activity on the primary market, so certificate mainly. We start again in September and October, in particular with certificate, and the results are in line with the previous month, so good news from this side. Banking fees, instead, are recurrent and are mainly driven by advisory fee, and here you can see that we confirm 11.6 million in line with the first quarter. Of course, here you have a little bit of seasonality, but the number are in line with expectation. Performance fees, we already said low contribution on overall here. The third quarter is in line with the second. Page 12, we see the breakdown of the annualized gross fee margin. Management fees, in this case, you know, there are some round effects, but let's say that management fees declined marginally to 1.11, and here we confirm the target of 1.10, partly offset by banking fees, 0.08, up from 0.07 of the last year. Entering fees stable, while if you look at performance fee, almost halved compared to the worst year of the last five, so 2016. Overall, 0.08. On performance fee, the number for October is very poor, but the good news is that we complete the launch of our Luxembourg platform and we resetted most of the historical series. So we could have some positive surprise in the next 3-6 months. From operating cost breakdown, so moving on page 13, operating costs under control. You can see easily on the cost breakdown the jump in the contribution from the funding for the crisis of the bank, 7.2 million, while overall personnel costs are in line with the last year, including new national banking contract and the strengthening of the management team in the previous quarter. The sales personnel costs down 3 million, and you know this is an opportunistic way to recruit top bankers if we find the opportunity in the market. General expense, again, good news. Here we have an increase of 2%. This is, of course, linked to the volume increase, and the increase is lower, of course, of the increase of the volume. So, again, operating leverage works very well and is well represented at page 14, where you can see the cost ratios. We are best in class in the operating cost on total assets, 0.33. And if you look at the cost-income ratios, both reported cost-income and adjusted cost-income are significantly below 50%, and the gap of the two series is narrowing due to the poor contribution of performance fee. This ratio show our solidity and our efficiency also in a context of poor performance fee and increasing volatility. Page 15, capital position, very proud, starting from capital ratios, very close, total capital ratio close to 20%. The excess capital is flat, 316. Leverage ratio constant at 5.3. And we have inserted the two liquidity ratio, the liquidity coverage ratio and the net stable funding ratio, and respectively 4 times and 2 times the minimum requirement. In this context, I think it's really important to see how solid and how liquid is the bank compared also with the other competitors. So, summing up the numbers, revenue stream are working in the right direction, all the initiatives are almost in place, and I think that it will be very important during our Investor Day on the 3rd of December to go through all the initiatives will be up and running for the first part of the next year. Coming to net inflows, assets and recruiting, so page 17, we already said total assets reached 58.5, of which 75% invested in asset management and insurance product. Here, the good news is on the graph on the right side of the page, where you can see that wrapper solution increase over 50% of the total managed solution, and then you can see a switch from fund of funds to single funds. Fund of funds decrease from 5.6 to 5.1, while single funds increase of 1 billion. Sorry, asset under advisory more than triple to 2.3 billion. And with a profitability around 45 basis points. Page 18, you see the total net inflows. I consider this number very robust and solid because due to the uncertainty of the market, of course, financial advisor has to dedicate more time to the existing clients as well. The mix is more conservative, and you can still see positive inflows in almost all the managed solution, with the exclusion of the fund of funds, that the minus 400 million is in line, almost in line with the result of the last year. So there is a gradual reduction of the fund of funds versus the single funds. And again, we start seeing positive sign on the inflows of the new initiative in Luxembourg that we have just launched at the end of October and beginning of November. Some update on October. October has been one of the worst months for the market since the crash of Lehman. Probably for US has been the worst one. Nevertheless, we had positive inflows above 200 million euro. The mix is exceptionally prudent and conservative. So we closed the month with 230 million euro of new inflows. I'm pretty confident we expect a sort of rebalancing of the mix once the situation stabilizes. So we have plenty of liquidity and cash on our current accounts ready to be reinvested. Page 19, the focus of this year has been the productivity of the existing sales force. And as you can see on the graph on the bottom left of the page, the contribution of the existing financial advisors jumped at 57%. And again, consider our definition of existing financial advisors, because this definition includes the bankers with more than 2 years of tenure with the bank. And you know our recruitment package normally lasts 12 months. So it's a very conservative definition of existing financial advisors, and we are confident to keep a range 55-60% for the next year. Overall, new recruits reached 84 units, and again, we consider a good result. We previously announced a slowdown in the recruiting activity to focus more and more on the existing sales force. And again, the path, the normal path, monthly path is about 8-10. In these last 2 months, it's a little bit more difficult because, of course, when the market volatility jumped, increased, it's more difficult to transfer clients and to move from the existing bank. But we are confident, again, also on this topic, there is great interest versus the bank, so we are confident to keep our base path of 8-10 for the foreseeable future. In the business update chapter, we dedicated two slides on the deal Nextam Partners. I have always said that we were ready to buy at the right price and at the right business, and I think the Nextam is the right business, first of all for the clients. Is a way to accelerate the growth in the private banking sector. We are talking about 2,500 clients, private clients, and consider that Nextam provides these clients with investments. So it's easy to think of cross-selling, upselling in this sense. So a good opportunity to accelerate on the customer base. Second, Nextam was founded by top asset manager. They decided to found Nextam to stay closer to their clients and to manage in a different way the money of their clients. And we need these capabilities to strengthen our asset management competence. You know, financial wrappers are one of the core pillar of our strategy for the future. So it's very important for us to increase competence and capabilities on these kind of products. Buying Nextam, we also bought expertise in financial advisory, mainly to institutional clients. Nextam decided to found a dedicated vehicle for independent advisory for mainly institutional clients. And again, since we are working a lot on advisory services and advisory fees, new competence are welcomed. Few information on the target, on Nextam Partners. As I said, it's an independent advisory boutique, 2,500 clients, mainly private clients. Two main business, asset management and advisory, one ancillary, that is trading, and trading will be merged, of course. And about financials, total revenues over 13 million euro, net profit 2.6, and net equity, this is 7 million that is necessary for them, for the asset management company. For us, is once merged, the asset management is free capital. So we said that the good business at the right price, and I think that we paid the right price. The acquisition is for 100% of Nextam Partners. The total max cost of the deal will be 25.5 million euro. We have 6.5 million subject to earnout and clawback clauses linked to net commission targets. The implied multiple on total AUM is at 1.4%. That is in line with the cost of growth for the bank. Once consider also the cost of the advisory, of the 5.3 billion euro of advisory, the ratio go down at 1.2%. So it means that the overall cost is up to 22.5 million euro for the asset management business, 1.3 billion euro, and 3 million for the advisory business. So working out the ratio will be a way to measure also the total cost and the fairness of the price. Of course, the deal is subject to regulatory approval, and the next steps after the authorization will be the merge of the asset management of Nextam SGR within Banca Generali. We will, of course, start with cross-selling, upselling activity, and there is some costs that are easily manageable. We have some important cost synergies in the range of 20% and 25%. Page 23, the last. I hope to see all of you to our Investor Day. It will be held in London the 3rd of December, and it will be a great opportunity to share with you our new strategic plan for the next 3 years, and giving also an outlook for a medium long term for the financial advisor business, in which, you know, I strongly believe. It will be a great opportunity also to introduce Saxo, and their CEO will participate at the conference, and we will leave the floor to two financial advisors just to have concrete example of how our business works. Of course, there is room to discuss the P&L, sustainability, and to see all the strategic initiatives for the next year and for the next 3 years. So thank you, and now I hand over to you for any questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Giuseppe Mappelli with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A few questions from my side. The first one, if you can share with us an update on the M&A opportunity that you are searching for in Switzerland, if I'm not wrong. And the second question is on your partnership on Saxo Bank. What's going on and what are the timing of the full steam contribution of such a partnership? And my last question is on your L2 collect, can you provide us the mark to market of such class at the end of September accordingly to the spread and yield evolution? Thank you.
Okay, let's start from Switzerland. We will give a disclosure of our strategy in Switzerland at the Investor Day. We are considering both potential acquisition as well as the launch of an initiative from scratch, and we will give disclosure of the project during our Investor Day. About the partnership with Saxo Bank, we are all very excited. We are very close to finalize the integration. We are waiting for the formal approval from regulators. So we should be up and running at the end in December to see the full impact of our P&L in the first quarter of the next year. This is, let's say that we start with the B2C business and then we will extend the business to the B2B2C, so through our financial advisor. But let's say that in the next weeks we should be live, starting from cash products and B2C. Then we will extend to derivatives, and finally we will extend to our financial advisors. All the strategy will be in place before the end of the first quarter of next year. I think that another thing very important with Saxo, that with the launch of Saxo, we have reviewed completely our digital banking approach, and this is a great part of the Investor Day, the presentation of the new platform, digital platform for the client, that in my view not only will close the gap with the top players in Italy, but will give us a leap, so a great advantage. On the How to Collect book, I hand over to the CFO for the answer.
Good evening. The How to Collect book is around 3.8 billion today, and the mark-to-market at the opening on this morning is around 160 million negative. So this is the updated mark-to-market value of our How to Collect bonds.
So 160.
160.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A few questions, if I may. The first one is on the on the L to collect. Is it fair to assume that, given the reclassification, the contribution going forward coming from trading is going to be close to zero or very limited compared to what we have seen in the past? The second question is on what you said during the presentation about the resetting of the Luxembourg funds that may bring positive news on performance fees. If you can elaborate a little bit on that point, as I'm not sure I fully understood the point. And the third one is you are getting some benefits from renegotiation of the third-party cost. This level you're showing for the 9 months is the one that you expect to remain stable going forward? There's still room for further improvement, or that's it? And the final one is on the mix in net inflows is clearly impacted by the current challenging environment. Is there a risk that the continuation of this kind of uncertainty could bring to negative outflows from managed assets into liquidity, or you are planning to, let's say, kind of counterbalance this volatility with new products that may attract the interest of the clients because they have a lower correlation with the financial markets and so on. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's start from performance fee and more in general products. Between the end of October and the beginning of November, we launched the second wave of our Lux IM, and both for the institutional clients, so as the underlying of the wrappers, as well as for the retail distribution. And since these are new funds, they are no track record, so they start from zero. So the mechanism is that if you have a positive performance, you will have a performance fee. So it depends on the market, of course, but you reset the historical series of the stock because clients start investing on this product as well. So it is a one-off opportunity, new products with raising assets, and it will depend on the performance of the next 3-6 months. On the net inflows and the mix, of course, the volatility of the market is not good news for asset management products. I think that we have at least two advantages. The first one is the insurance offer, and we continue to see positive inflows both in the traditional life insurance as well as in the wrapper. So on one hand, we have these insurance wrappers that will help us to provide protection, a sort of protection diversification. And on the other hand, we launched in November some specific initiative in our Luxembourg platform, single funds, with a very, very low vol profile and with a high decorrelation from the market. So the two elements should allow us to provide some resiliency on the outflow of the asset management, and we are thinking of also in the financial wrappers on new strategies, alternative strategies and the illiquid ones. So all in all, in the short term, I think that we can see some pressure. In the medium term, I'm not worried about that. So let's see the stabilization of the market. In terms of renegotiation with third parties, I think that we can expect some marginal further improvements, a few basis points. Let's say that more than half of the way has been done. I can expect to close some negotiations still open. Last point, banking book. Tommaso, I will start, and then if you want, please add the comments. Let's say that the idea is to keep ATC, held to collect and sales, over 1 billion. So it means that the trading gains will be limited and lower than the historical levels. And of course, you have to consider that we have plenty of liquidity. So once we start investing in ATC, you will see an improvement in net interest margin as well. It will offset, and probably more than, we will offset, say, in the medium term, the lack of capital gains.
Yes, just to add something, I would like to say that first of all, we have managed the situation by selling part of the portfolio in the first part of the year. So we have applied the de-risking strategy in the first part of the year, just managing the volatility that we had in the market. Today, of course, we are more invested in all to collect, so we expect to have lower trading gains, but at the same time we have a lot of bonds that are going to maturity in the next month and also in the next year, around 1.5 billion in the next by the end of 2019. So we have also a very important opportunity to reinvest the liquidity that we have. And as you can see in the slide, we have a positive sensitivity at our interest net margin, around 28 million of of an increase of 100%, 100 basis point in interest rate. So we have a positive sensitivity. So we expect to have a benefit in the interest net margin that can balance the lack in trading gains.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Elena Perini with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I was focusing on net interest income as your result in the third quarter was above my expectations, and then I was wondering if you can give us some guidance. I know that you have the investor day on the 3rd of December, but I was wondering about some guidance for next year, also considering that you anticipated a bigger effort on the lending side. And then my second question is on net inflows. If I understood correctly, you mentioned more than 200 million in October, then I argue that to achieve your 5 to 5.5 billion target for this year, you would expect an acceleration in the last two months, and in particular, we usually see a positive seasonal effect in December. If you can confirm this trend, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Starting from net interest income. For the full year of 2018, as I already mentioned, we are setting a target above 60 million. For the next year, on the lending activity, I'm very confident. On the banking book, we are defining the new strategy. Of course, in the next weeks, we will continue to keep a high liquidity position, and just to see what happens in the short term linked to the budget law, but then we start again investing. So I think that if we see some upside, we will come from net interest and income, probably not in the first quarter, but for sure in the second part of the year. We are very conservative now, just because we want to keep room to act in once understood the situation, the overall situation. In investor day, we will give some more disclosure on lending activity as well as the banking book strategy. On net inflows, you are right. I confirm the range 5.5. The provision for the new inflows, so for the growth activity, has been set with the upper band of the range, so at 5.5. So any numbers below 5.5 will be positive news from a payout ratio perspective and expense ratio. We are confident to exceed 5 billion euro, thanks to the seasonality of December and some pending position that we are seeing, and we are waiting for a stabilization of the market to disinvest and reinvest in Banca Generali. So the November numbers are more conditioned to the market conditions, while December there is a strong seasonal effect that will support numbers. So 5.5, I'm pretty confident, probably now I would say closer to 5 than to 5.5, even if the provisions are set at 5.5.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Filippo Prini with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I got three questions. The first one is if you can confirm your guidance on operating costs for the full year. The second one is on the new LuxIM. If you can confirm that what you are launching basically in these days at the end of basically last month is equal in terms of numbers of lines and in asset value to what you've launched earlier this year in April. And related to that, if the all the BGC CAV BG selection, basically the timeline for their runoff of all BGC CAV BG selection. And the last one is still on the NII. If you can remind us which is the amount of GAM bond maturing in 2019. Thank you.
Okay, the guidance for the cost are confirmed. LuxIM, the second wave consisted in the launch of 20 new funds. The first wave was on 15, so now we have 35 new funds. And the mix between BG selection and LuxIM, now let's say out of more or less 15 billion euro, we have 15 point something, 15.3 I think, let's say that more than 10, around 10 are invested in BG selection and 5 invested in Lux, more or less. Let's say 5.8 in LuxIM and 9.3 in selection. So the second wave, the one we launched in October, November, for me is more complete than the previous one and more focused on low-risk strategies and alternative strategies. So we are confident that once training the network, we will see raising interest also in the retail distribution. So overall, the net selection and Lux, I think, will be positive in the next months.
Okay.
Sorry, on the government bonds, we have 400 million euro this year and 1.2 next year.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you all and see you on Investor Day.